God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. It's always a blessing to be able to greet our listening audience. Greetings to all of you. This is Pastor Larry. I'm always delighted when someone who is not in our camp has a light bulb moment and sees the truth. HBO host Bill Maher recently clobbered the insane cancel culture in a lecture to progressives. Maher began his monologue by pointing out what should be obvious. No one, including those on the left, is safe from the looming, inescapable grip of a society bent toward total ideological purity. Maher urges leftist listeners to stop apologizing for their every perspective or misstep out of line with the far left when the woke mob comes after them for some ridiculous offense. During his talk, the HBO host referenced Emmanuel Cafferty, the Hispanic man fired from his job at San Diego Gas and Electric last spring, because of a photo showing one of his hands stretched out of a work truck with an OK position, a symbol some have argued is a sign of white supremacy. Cafferty has repeatedly defended himself, saying there was no racist intent behind it, adding he was simply cracking his knuckles. Is this really who we want to be, Maher asked, a society of phony, clenched blank-blank avatars, walking on eggshells, always looking over your shoulder about getting ratted out for something that actually has nothing to do with character or morals, he asked. Bill Maher also slammed the leaders of San Francisco, who are determined to remove the names of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln from public school building, an effort that has been temporarily tabled after the San Francisco city attorney sued the school for failing to prioritize reopening classrooms for students. We are privileged to have Dr. Erwin Lutzer as our guest. He is a prolific author and has a deep understanding of cultural forces directing our society and impacting the church today. His new book is titled, We Will Not Be Silenced, Responding Courageously to Our Culture's Assault on Christianity. This book is not only a book you will want to read, you will want to keep it handy for quick reference because what he speaks about is happening right today. You know, friends, have you ever wondered, for example, why the incessant attack on the family in today's world? Well, Dr. Lutzer explains, and he explains so many things, but let me just read this quote. He says, Marx taught that families based on natural law and Judeo-Christian values breed inequality and feed on greed and systemic oppression. Such families had to be dismantled if the Marxist vision of equality was to be realized, close quote. And like I say, the book is full of statements like that dealing with things that you hear about that make you angry and you wonder, where is this going? This is a tremendous, tremendous book. We will not be silenced. Dr. Lutzer, thank you so much for being our guest, a great honor.
Well, thank you so much, Larry. So glad to be with you today. And we're living in very troubling times, and we'll have an opportunity to talk about that.
Yes, yes. Well, something very basic. Dr. Lutzer, why did you write We Will Not Be Silenced?
Larry, I began to realize that the radical left does not believe that America can be fixed. It has to be destroyed and rebuilt on a Marxist foundation which uses the word equality in every respect. And so what is happening is even the vilification of our history, our Judeo-Christian traditions are being vilified, the Constitution is being vilified, because they see it as a stumbling block to the great vision of socialism and Marxism. So what do you have? You have the tearing down of monuments. Now, every regime, every communist regime has always done this. You and I are probably old enough to know when Russia, I should say St. Petersburg, was called Leningrad, and then it was called Stalingrad, and China, I know that you have an interest in that country, when the Western influence was there, they decided to destroy all the monuments, burn all the books, because Mao was going to begin a new China, and history has to be vilified. You know, In the book, I quote the words of Schlesinger, who was a confidant of President Kennedy. He said, memory is to a nation. History is to a nation what memory is to a person. Now, you and I know that if a person loses his memory, he becomes whatever people call him or tell him he is. So they want to vilify our history. They want to, through the 1619 Project, which I mentioned there, to destroy the family and destroy capitalism. And that's the agenda, and that's being taught in our schools. You know, in your open, you referred to the family and Marxist view. Marx believed that the key to history was oppression. And men oppressed their wives, parents oppressed their children, they took them to church. God was the ultimate oppressor. And so the destruction of the family was very important. And you've already hinted at it. Black lives matter. Do black lives matter? Of course, every black life matters. But the organization that takes that mantra says that it is Marxist. And on its website, it talks about the dissolution of the nuclear family. So that's where we are today, the tearing down of everything to build something brand new. And on the other side of the revolution, there will be the end of white supremacy, there will be income equality, and there won't be racism, and all the terrible things of the past will be gone, and we'll live in that Marxist utopia.
We've heard several times, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, the notion or the claim that slavery began with America. But, of course, you and I know that it was practiced in ancient Rome, in ancient Greece, Spain, Portugal. And if you read the book of Exodus, you will find slavery in ancient Egypt. And the person who made that statement is actually a Democrat congressman. He said slavery began with America. And I'm thinking, wow, these people are really not very smart. They don't know much about history.
And in the book we're talking about, We Will Not Be Silenced, I point out that there are still 40 million slaves in the world, primarily in Africa and India. So yeah, you'd think that the West invented slavery. The West actually overcame slavery, ended it. You have Wilberforce in England, and you have what happened here in the United States with Abraham Lincoln and so forth. So all of this, again, you know what you've done, Larry, is just illustrate my point. The idea is to destroy and vilify the past to emphasize America's sins and leave all the rest behind. One of the reasons I wrote the book, though not the primary reason, is so that parents might understand, why is it that when I send my children to university, why do they come back hating America? Why do they say that the flag is oppressive and we shouldn't celebrate the 4th of July? What is being taught there that causes them to think that? And that's, of course, explained in the book, and I apply Marxism not only to our history, but I'm sure we'll get into this, if not today, next time, and how it is applied to issues of race. I sure hope we get a chance to discuss that. And then also freedom of speech, propaganda, and the whole bit. And once you understand what Marxism teaches, all the rest of what is happening around us begins to make sense.
Yes, you're absolutely correct in that. And talk to us a little bit about equality, because, does equality mean that everyone should have equal opportunity, or does it mean that everyone should have an equal outcome for their lives? What's equality all about?
Well, actually, equality was a word that was used by Marx. That's the big watchword, is equality. Certainly, we are equal in value. That is biblical by the fact that we were created in the image of God and so forth. But the idea that all of us are somehow born equal is, of course, nonsense. A handicapped child is never going to have the gifts of a football player, for example. So inequality exists everywhere. Now, we should work toward equality of opportunity, absolutely. But equality of outcome, that is a Marxist notion. Equality of outcome says whether you contribute to society or not, whether you are a productive member or whether or not you are lazy, it doesn't matter. You should have the same outcome. No nation can even function with that kind of teaching. The word equality, of course, is totally misused. You know, you think of the Equality Act. You think of, you know, reproductive equality, marriage equality, which is same-sex marriage. And so it's a word that is pressed into service, oftentimes totally diametrical to what equality would really mean. And that's where we are in our society. It is a cover for some very nefarious things.
Yes. On page 76, you write, quote, God did not dispense blessings and favor equally. And then I'm thinking of Luke 4, 25 and 26, where it speaks about, you know, the drought and starvation, but Elijah was not sent to anyone but the widow of Zarephath. So, you know, what you've just said in this statement, God did not dispense blessings and favor equally. There are some people who, a lot of our students, Chinese students, they're great in physics. They're great in biochemistry. Now, I'm not great in physics or biochemistry. So this is such a dangerous notion. And we need to really look at the scripture and understand that point that you make on page 76.
Yeah, and the point that I'm making there is that socialism or equality is not biblical. I point out that God did not treat Hammurabi the way in which he treated Abraham. And you remember the parable that Jesus told about the man who had 10 talents, someone else had 5, 3, 2, 1, all the way down the line. What God did, though, is require faithfulness with how many talents one had. He did not expect the one talent man to gain as much wealth as the 10 talent man. But the idea that somehow blessings are to be equally dispensed, one of the longest chapters in my book, We Will Not Be Silenced, one of the longest chapters is on socialism. And there I quote Winston Churchill, who said, The great curse of capitalism is the unequal distribution of blessings. The great blessing of socialism is the equal distribution of misery.
Right. We'll all be equally poor. Well, a related concept is the concept of social justice. Social justice, as I understand it from what I hear in the news and what I read, is it justice or is it something else? In fact, when I look at social justice, it deconstructs traditional structures because they are supposedly oppressive. So maybe talk a little bit more about social justice, because this is something that's bantered around every day on the news, and so many tell us we need social justice.
Well, Larry, one of the sad things is there are evangelicals who are actually substituting the gospel for social justice. And social justice sounds so good. Aren't we all in favor of justice? Of course. As a matter of fact, you know, the Bible has lots to say about justice. Micah reminded us that we were to do justice. But the question is this, what is that? You know, and social justice, as it is defined, is much more dependent on Marxism than it is the Bible. Because Marx again taught that the key is oppression. So social justice talks about sexual equality, sexual radicalism. It's involved in environmentalism justice, reproductive justice, which has, of course, to do with abortion. So there's a word that is oftentimes misused. So what I try to do in the book is to make a distinction between biblical justice and social justice. And the other thing that happens in social justice is the whole racial issue, which is very controversial and very convoluted, and it is based on a Marxist view of justice and oppression.
Well, that's so true. And when I think of the word racism, that's another word that is just thrown around. If somebody were to ask you, Dr. Lutzer, is America racist? What would you say as an answer?
Well, yes, in this sense that we have racism in the human heart. But I would like to ask someone, no matter what group they belong to, have you ever had a racist thought? And the answer is, of course, all of us have, because we're all fallen creatures. But the idea in social justice is that there's one group that is racist, one group has all of the vices, and the others have all of the virtues. And so what you have is this idea that if you are white, cisgender, you are an oppressor, and everybody else is oppressed. And it's the oppressors that are at fault. It is not the oppressed. And here's where Christianity really does have an answer. Because Christianity says that there isn't that much difference between us. We all come as sinners to the foot of the cross. We become one body in Christ. And having done that, then we ask the question, what can we do together to make things better? And that's the issue. And that, of course, is biblical. You know, giving justice to the poor, speaking on behalf of those who can't speak for themselves. That's all part of justice. But we don't go about thinking that we can somehow solve these problems by shouting at one another across racial fences.
Well, Dr. Lutzer, we are just about out of time, but friends, we're going to have Dr. Erwin Lutzer back with us for our next show. He is the author of We Will Not Be Silenced. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get their own copy of this really excellent book that will open eyes and give you understanding.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new book titled We Will Not Be Silenced. You can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. If you would prefer to write and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order this much-needed book on our website at swrc.com. We also have the new book by Alicia Illion titled Chasing Perfect. This book will help you learn what it means to look beyond each day's diversions and live in surrender to the Savior. You can have a copy for a gift of $18. Better yet, get both books, We Will Not Be Silenced and Chasing Perfect, for a gift of $32. That number again is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says President Biden cannot square opening the United States-Mexico border to thousands of border crossers and illegal aliens while also potentially restricting travel for American citizens. Biden's end to the Remain in Mexico policy, as well as a series of cooperative asylum agreements with Central America, is ensuring that tens of thousands of border crossers will be released into the U.S. interior, many of whom will take American jobs while more than 17 million Americans are jobless. There is no requirement for these border crossers to undergo coronavirus testing before their release.
The Biden administration requires that all those arriving in the U.S. via plane test negative for the coronavirus. However, no such policy exists for foreign nationals arriving at the U.S.-Mexico border. Just recently, Yuma County, Arizona Sheriff Leon Wilmot sent a letter to Democrat Senator Kyrsten Sinema in which he called the policy, quote, a particularly dangerous approach, close quotes.
Sheriff Wilmot is right. Just think of how wonderful walls are. They save American lives from violent crime committed by illegal aliens. Walls save American jobs from being lost to uncontrolled, uncounted, undocumented illegal immigration. Walls will restrict certain individuals from coming into the country, thereby cutting down on property crime and theft. Walls will save Americans from paying for schools, medical care, and other social services for more illegal immigrants.
Americans are generally generous to a number of causes and even send relief money to people overseas. However, no country can take care of everyone, and no one country is morally responsible for taking care of everyone. If you have one loaf of bread, how many people can you share it with before no one benefits from the loaf of bread? Is it immoral to want to save some of that loaf of bread so that you will at least be able to feed your own family?
Deception comes in many forms. It's especially dangerous when aimed at small children. ChristianHeadlines.com, February 17th, gives details. Blue's Clues and You, the 2019 reboot of an animated hit children's series, Blue's Clues, has recently released a new alphabet song that pushes LGBTQ pride to its young audience. According to the Christian Post, the video, the ABC song with Blue was posted February 11th on YouTube and features Blue, the famous blue dog who is voiced by actress Tracy Paige Johnson, singing through the alphabet. Each letter of the alphabet in the song corresponds to different concepts. For instance, the music video proclaims the letter P as being full of pride. Throughout the entire video, the rainbow-colored P is designated to represent the LGBTQ pride flag. Surrounding the letter were 9 flags highlighting various sexualities within the LGBTQ community. As explained by LGBTQ human rights organization Outright Action International, the flags represent the transgender communities, asexual, pansexual, intersex, gender fluid, and other communities. Upon the song's release, many praised Nickelodeon for the move on Twitter. "I'm crying. I grew up with Blue's Clues, and not only is pride there, even ace, pan, non-binary, and intersex flags are there. This is so beautiful. Oh my goodness, I'm starting my day with a happy breakdown," another user added. "I'm bawling. I grew up on the original Blue's Clues, and this means the absolute world to me. Kids these days are getting the exposure they need to the kinds of things like we all wish we did," another user said. Others, however, took issue with the inclusion of the LGBTQ pride symbolism in the song. One user called it indoctrination, writing, "The means of indoctrination pave a dark path." In recent times, Nickelodeon, among other kids' cable networks, has promoted more LGBTQ plus messages to children through its programming. Last year, Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network broadcasted commercials in honor of Pride Month in June. Then, in November, Nickelodeon teamed up with transgender actor Michael D. Cohen in creating the Trans Youth Acting Challenge, in helping transgender and non-binary kids pursue their dreams of becoming actors. The inclusion of LGBTQ characters goes as far back as 2016, when the Children's Network introduced a biracial same-sex couple in an episode of the cartoon series The Loud House. End of article. The biblical command to train our children in the ways of the Lord are well stated in Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Beware, the world wants the minds of your children while they can be conformed to the world.
Author, researcher, lecturer, and authority on the occult, Johanna Michelson, came out with her bombshell book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, in 1982. She tells of her involvement in yoga, Silva mind control, and how she came to reject such practices. It was so well received and surprised many parents that she wrote another even more revealing book titled, Like Lambs to the Slaughter, Your Child and the Occult. In this 1989 book, Michelson extensively and carefully documents the invasion of the occult and the dangerous religious practices that are impacting America's public education system, movies, television, books, games, holidays, and more. Many blasted Michelson as a wild-eyed lunatic who poo-pooed the assured results of modern behavioral science. But almost a half century later, conservative educators are convinced that everything that Michelson had said is true.
Today, educational psychologists openly admit to the religious underpinnings of transpersonal psychology. In the classroom, however, its religious nature is usually disguised. Michelson says the purpose of transpersonal education is to present ancient occult techniques to students in order to open them up to the experience of self-transcendence, that is, the experience of enlightenment that comes from Eastern mysticism, the ecstatic experience of unity with ultimate reality that produces a burst of understanding that all is one, one is all, therefore everything is God, including you.
Many of the public school teachers are using occult practice in their classrooms but are undoubtedly doing so in ignorance. Michelson is convinced that the majority of teachers do not realize the source or the implications of what they are exposing their children to. Those who have developed the programs and who set the policies and trends, however, are in a different category. There is clear and abundant evidence from their own writings, however, that shows they know exactly what they're doing and why they are doing it.
Contemporary headlines demonstrate that youth are being affected by occult teachings. One newspaper featured an article entitled, Sympathy for the Devil, More Young People Turn to Satan Worship. Another headline read, Satan's Teens, What Have We Got to Live For? And yet another states, Parent Killings Intensify Worries Over Heavy Metal.
The current cancel culture considers biblical faith an expression of bigotry and hatred, yet they resort to shaming and pressure tactics to enforce their views. What's a Christian to do? Find out when you order our special offer today by calling 1-800-652-1144. Do you have a comment to make, or do you want to ask a Bible question? Then please send them to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. While you're surfing the internet, you should stop off at our website at swrc.com. We've got lots of videos and articles to read. While you're at it, check out our Facebook page. Thanks for being with us today. Join us here tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Erwin Lutzer continue this series on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.